way I needed to grow. I hope it will help you too. Working through this book. The book is organized in four parts. Part 1. The Seven Sigma Mindset. In this part, you will consider what thinking is, exploring habitual and free ways of thinking in particular. You will start to question your own thinking, better understand where it comes from, and see several examples from my coaching clients who restricted habitual thinking issues successfully. The Six Sigma Mindset, which promotes habitual thinking, is contrasted with the Seven Sigma Mindset, which promotes free thinking, and the latter is presented as a desirable transformation for anyone who wants to participate more actively in the world, leading to a more productive, satisfying, and free life. Part 2. The Six Patterns of Habitual Thinking and Their Alternative Patterns of Free Thinking. There are six patterns of habitual thinking that stand in our way of being true Seven Sigma thinkers, including our tendency to 1. Villainize, 2. Suppress, 3. Identify with, 4. Trust, 5. Misalign, and 6. Attach to thoughts. We will explore how these patterns dominate your thinking and explore alternative patterns of free thinking that will allow you to discover a more balanced mindset. Through structured reflections, you will feel how these forces manifest in you, and you will learn how to gradually loosen the grip they have on your thinking, increasing your capacity and readiness for free thinking. Part 3. The Seven Levels of Free Thinking. In this part, you will learn about the seven levels of free thinking along which our mental maps are arranged, comprising 1. Environmental context, 2. Activities, 3. Skills, 4. Values and beliefs, 5. Identities, 6. Affiliations, and 7. Self-experience. Through a series of reflections, followed by explanations and case studies, you will learn how to expand free thinking along these levels. You will learn to see the whole territory instead of relying on the limiting personal mental maps by which you navigate your life. You will recover lost resources and broaden your perspective on the choices you have in your life. Part 4. Practices to sustain a Seven Sigma mindset. To make sure you don't fall back into old habits over time, in Part 4 you will learn to develop new practices that will constantly shift your gaze from the map to the territory. You will develop methods to adapt the Seven Sigma mindset in a sustainable way. One of the commonalities in neurolinguistic programming and Dzogchen is the call to directly experience. This book is filled with exercises and reflections that encourage you to do just that. Each time we are about to look more deeply at an important insight from the worlds of sociology, philosophy, and psychology, you will first find a reflection that asks you to immerse yourself in your own world of experience. These exercises and reflections, which I have developed and fine-tuned based on what I saw worked effectively with coaching clients and students, are an important pillar of the Seven Sigma mindset, as transitioning and maintaining a new mindset requires both intellectual and experiential work. They can trigger questions and curiosity that will open your mind, allowing you to explore the deeper learnings that follow in the book. I hope that you will take your time to do the reflections, despite any ambitions you have possibly set yourself for finishing this book quickly. Part 1. The Seven Sigma Mindset. Chapter 1. Pigeons in Paris. In the spring of 2017, I was sitting at the Gare de l'Est train station in Paris, returning from a Six Sigma workshop I had conducted, in which I was helping a team adopt some of the productivity-enhancing ways of working I had learned as a Six Sigma consultant at the global consultancy McKinsey & Company. While my own thoughts were still circling around the workshop I had just completed, I observed a flock of pigeons fighting over a piece of bread dropped by a passerby. I'm sure you've seen this situation before. The pigeons were beating their beaks into the bread in the hope that a few crumbs would break off for them to enjoy. It was a slightly chaotic scene, not unlike toddlers playing football. For a minute, one after the other, they tried to grab the piece of bread or at least get a crumb off it. Then, a sparrow landed next to his 4 or 5 times bigger fellows and their picking party. It watched the scene for